My name is Madison, and I am in recovery from anorexia and bulimia.
Hi.
Okay, now it is time for the leader to qualify. Whose timer?
I'll give you a 5-minute.
And it's 20. Sure. Okay, can I have when it's 10 and then when I have 2 minutes left?
Sure.
Cool, thank you. Hi, I'm Madison. I'm recovered anorexic bulimic.
Hi.
Sorry, I thought the meeting was 9:15. So I was a little late, but thanks for switching it up for me. Thank you for asking me to lead, Stephanie. I've been doing a lot of leads lately, so I'm really grateful to share my recovery. So what it was like, I did have a healthy relationship with food and body growing up for the most part. I had an intuitive relationship. I don't remember being born with this. But I definitely was born with interesting thinking, for sure, and a mental illness, for sure. Right now I have to talk to my therapist and I'm seeing a psychiatrist because I think I have OCD, like I'm pretty sure. And actually my second sponsor, I had a therapist who said I did have it, and she said, no, you just have an eating disorder. So I kind of like just listened to her and went on my merry way, but now it's really like come to a head. And so I've always had interesting tics or quirks about me, you know? And then I also was very active. I was in dance. I was in soccer. I think disordered eating was around me for sure. Like now if I look back and do like an inventory of my past, I definitely see odd behaviors from family members. But I didn't know what eating disorders were. I didn't know that that was like a thing. And so when I turned 14, quite young, I started modeling, and I had always felt like the oddball out. I felt like the oddball out in my house. My parents were never together, and then my mom married my ex-stepdad and had my brother, so I just felt like the outsider growing up in my own home. So I actually seeked out church and religion because I like the community in the church, and so I would sort of cosplay mentally. I would pretend I'm sort of like in their families, and I got heavily involved with the music, being a leader, just anything I could do to like fill that void, you know. And when I started modeling, that was sort of my first glimpse at feeling special and unique. I also had felt that growing up with music. I've been doing that forever, but modeling was like the first time I felt like finally like the spotlight was on me, and I really enjoyed it. I was bullied for being tall, and I was naturally thinner. I'm quite tall, so this is the first time I felt like my uniqueness was like my strength. And it was a really healthy experience at first. I really enjoyed it. I liked feeling beautiful. I liked taking pictures. I liked all of that. And then I started to work with somebody who was a little bit older, and I essentially became his muse. So I started working with him. He was a photographer, I would be the model, and it was great as I got to learn how to be a better model. But what was not good was he was encouraging me to lose weight, because he said that if I was to be a successful model working in New York, I would have to lose some weight. Now, just to provide context, I was 5'8 and naturally a size 2, so I don't really know if there was much weight to lose, you know? But I, like, started researching, and I was determined, because I'm very, like, well, I think I have OCD, but also perfectionist, so, like, if you say, do this to get this, I'm going to do that, you know? Instead of maybe, like, taking a fair judgment or assessment of what I'm trying to get by doing a certain thing. So I started to research like what healthy people ate and what calories were. I found out what that was, and working out. And my first drug of choice was exercise bulimia, and that's still like a working relationship, you know. I think the hardest part about like eating disorders and exercise and all of that is like you can't avoid it, and I think that's the hardest part, is like just the daily groove of figuring out what works for you, and then when it doesn't work for you, feeling kind of shitty, but not you know, thinking you have to start your time over or freak out, and then finding things that do work for you and sort of that gray area. So I picked up exercise bulimia, and then I started to pick up the anorexia, and I lost weight very quickly and naturally became very ill. And, you know, I had doctors, like, diagnose me with anorexia. I don't think they understood what exercise bulimia was. And I couldn't naturally menstruate. I was basically in menopause at, like, 17. It was pretty bad. Went to treatment for a little bit, but that did not work for me. I didn't like it. And then I eventually moved to New York, signed as a model, and sort of, I didn't forget about my problem because I was so barely functioning in my life, but I focused on everything else being the problem. I ignored the big elephant in the room. And just to give you an example of, like, how I was high functioning in my disease was, I always think about, like, I had this period where, like, I just couldn't sleep. Like, I just had terrible insomnia, but it was from hunger. Like, I just couldn't sleep because I was waking up in the middle of the night starving. So I was taking a lot of melatonin, and it got to the point where I would hallucinate during the day because I couldn't sleep. So I was hungover from the melatonin. Just so, like, I don't even know how I got by living in New York City on my own, like, at 18. It's, like, crazy. Eventually, I had my first ever, like, major runway show as a signed model at Madison Square Garden. It's, like, so major. And I didn't eat before going in. I left my boyfriend's place and, like, just went to the show and was obviously not feeling great, you know. And I passed out. And that was the first time that I, like, yes, I had doctors for years telling me, like, if you keep going, like, this will be really detrimental to your health. But, you know, when I was that sick, I really did not care what was going on internally. I only cared about looking good. That's the only thing I cared about. So you could tell me till you're blue in the face that, like, my bones could break at any second, da 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 da. But until my bone actually broke, I didn't care, you know? And so passing out was like, well, it was my bottom, but it's also like my wake-up call of, like, oh, wow, this could actually really kill me. Like, it could really kill me. And so my boyfriend at the time, actually, his family had a treatment center out here in California, but I didn't want to go because I did not like treatment. Also, you know, financial insecurity, didn't want to pay for that, didn't want to feel indebted to anybody. So I Googled free support groups for anorexics because I knew I was anorexic. And so I found another 12-step program for food that was specific to anorexics and bulimics in New York City. And I will say, like, I've always had a very interesting relationship with my higher power. It, for me, it's a lot of it is, like, intuition. And I just had this thought before I went into my first meeting, like, there's way more on the other side. Like, life does not have to feel like this, you know? I was newly 19 and, like, miserable living in New York City. And I just felt like I was really not living life to the fullest, you know? So walked in, and the leader who was speaking my story. And I immediately felt at home. And that still felt like a call today and, like, talk to her. And remember I sat in the back all black with a hat on, just like I didn't talk to him. I think my boyfriend was with me, so I was, like, cuddled up next to him. And, a part of me felt at home, so I was intrigued. I wanted to come back. Thank you. And so I did. I kept coming back. I got a sponsor probably my second week. She was this fabulous woman who worked in TV, and I just wanted what she had. She just seemed to have this ease about her, and she was fabulous. And the best part about that meeting, and I really am grateful that that was my first home group, was they would fellowship after, and I would just watch the women eat. I would watch everybody eat because I was fascinated that they could just have a meal and talk and be present and not think about, like, how many calories are on the plate, or, you know, they'd leave, like, a little sliver because they were full. That was crazy. And I learned, like, sort of how to commune again, you know? I got a dietitian right away. That was, for me, how I worked a lot of my step one, was just like, I remember I was in New York City. I was still active. I was modeling, so I was going to a ton of castings, walking so many steps a day. And I remember my dietitian was like, so we're going to do 3 snacks. And I remember I broke down in the office, like, there's no way. Like, can we bargain, like, an extra thing at lunch? Like, I cannot. But I really, like, I surrendered. I really wanted to be well. I really, really wanted to be well. And that, like, if you're new, is really all you need. Like, the minutiae, the little details, they do work themselves out, because the only thing you really need is a willingness to be well. And that's, like, such a relief for me still, because it's not perfect, you know? Like, definitely there's still behaviors that come up, and I have to be honest, turn things over to my sponsor, but I really want to be well, and that's always stuck with me. I've had that gift of desperation of, I know what it's like on the other side. I really don't want to be there, you know? So I got some years in, I got a year and a half in recovery. I moved out to LA, changed sponsors, entered another program because of some, like, abusive situations going on with professional things. And about 3 years in is when I started to develop a real spiritual practice. And I like to talk about this because I think it's really important to talk about God, because that's really the foundation of the program, is, like, that connection to a higher power. And in the beginning, I didn't really grasp the higher power thing. I think I made my sponsor, meetings, other things my higher power. And finally, I realized, like, I cannot make another human my higher power, because they will fail me. And, like, if I want to have sustainable recovery, I have to have a spiritual foundation, you know? Like, that's really where it starts. I think, for me, it started with, like, food and the physical allergy, but really, the spiritual had to be the foundation, for sure. Because I can do my 3 meals a day and my optional snacks, and that fills me up physically, but there's still an emptiness there, and that's the spiritual. And I think, like, with more time, I realized, like, yeah, I could, like, have another thing, or I could, like, play around with the food or exercise, but, like, that void, that emptiness that I feel sometimes will still be there. It almost makes it harder. You know, I think before I was, like, not so aware of that, and so I was like, well, I could just do this thing and it'll help distract me from, like, that void I'm feeling or that loneliness or whatever. Now it's like, I just know that won't work, so I really just have to confront the loneliness. So I started meditating twice a day, every day. That was how I started my spiritual practice. And that changed my life. It changed my physical well-being as well. That was, like, life-changing. And it was really nice to, like, daily be reminded of taking that pause. And eventually it branched out into other types of spirituality. I don't identify as religious anymore. But I respect it, and people in my family are, and I'll go and I'll support them around holidays and whatnot. But for me, I really had to detach from that first higher power I was taught about, because that was a masculine, judgmental, harsh, you know, very black and white higher power I came from. And my higher power now is, like, it's just energy. There's no gender. Sometimes I'll assign it that, like, if I feel like I need a masculine or feminine energy. But it's free. It's synchronicities. That's, like, I'm really, like, diving into spiritual work kind of, like, crazy right now. And I have, like, a manifestation or, like, synchronicity list. I always log things that sort of, whatever I'm manifesting at that time or focusing on, things that remind me of it, I will log it in my phone. And that's, like, a part of my higher power relationship, you know? Like, I really do believe that, like, I'm spoken to through different things in the universe and whatnot. So, I would just say, like, to be current of, like, where I'm at is I have, like, almost 7 years. In July, it'll be 7 years. I am a sponsor. I have a sponsee. I'm on the OA board, so that's been interesting and fun. stress. I'm also in 2 other programs. I work the steps in the other program, and then I'm sort of in, like, a newer program. I work this recovery, you know. It's really changed my life. The fellows I've met have been, like, life-saving and changing as well. One fellow in particular, like, I consider her my godmother, like family. Like, I put her as an emergency contact now, you know, because I don't have family out here. So, you know, the friendships and the connections that I've made are, like, amazing. I think currently, like, I'm really focusing on, like, who's showing up for me. And, like, I hung out with a fella last night, and, like, 2 years ago, that would have been really weird. Like, I wouldn't have wanted to cross the OA fellow to friendship boundary. I don't know why. I had a lot of judgments around it. I wanted to compartmentalize, like, okay, these are my OA friends, and then this is, like, my real-life friends. But now I'm like, no, like, that's a real-life friend, you know? But we happen to have that similar bond of coming from OA and understanding, like, there's sort of this quiet and unknowing between us of, like, if something comes up with the food, like, I'm there to support, you know? And it's really nice. Like, I feel like I am, I don't know, I've it's been rough. Like, this last week was rough. And it was hard emotionally, like, lots of tears, lots of, it almost feels like right now I'm in, like, an undoing because of, like, how deep I'm diving into my spiritual life. Like, I really, with wanting to be well, I also want to just have a more optimistic perspective on life. And I think being an addict and a lot of this disease for me has really been, like, constantly assuming the worst and always disqualifying myself from whatever I want. Like, I'm just constantly not good enough. And I think my eating disorder for a long time was not only my best friend and my confidant, but it was my self-esteem. It was how I felt like I had some sort of, yeah, place in this world, you know? Like, thank you. If I was thin, then I was good or whatever. I don't even know what the narrative was. But today, I just genuinely want to have a better perspective on life. And I'm grateful that I have the recovery because I can really dive into my spiritual life and, like, the food is already taken care of and, like, I get to just, like, really focus on, like, old beliefs, old narratives. And, like, I don't know, I think I just want to, like, commit to the group. Like, I definitely need to be kinder to myself. Like, I think I need to be more kind in the process because I feel like as I'm leveling up, there's sort of, like, a firestorm of my life right now. Like, things are sort of being uprooted and changed, like, very drastically. But I think that's sort of what happens when you realize there's so much more on the other side, you know? And so if you're new and things feel, like, really weird or rocky or, like, confusing or, like, life's kind of going to crap right now, like, it does pass. Unfortunately, the only way is through. But I think my commitment to myself is to just be gentle in that process. And that's sort of, like, where I've been at. But I'm really glad I got to share. It's good to show up and be a participant in my recovery. And thank you. Okay. Okay, this is the time for questions only. There is no sharing at this meeting. If you need to share, please do so with any one of us after the meeting. Also, please remember that the opinions of the leaders are my own and not those of Overeaters as Anonymous as a whole. When asking questions, you need not identify yourself. Please remember, if you ask a question, your voice may be audible on the OA podcast. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. You mentioned earlier a higher power being tied to, like, intuition. Mm-hmm. So how do you know when it's not one of your interesting thoughts and that it's really, God wants you?
Can
I
simply
repeat the question?
Oh, repeat the question. So, how do I know if it's my intuition or kind of something else, essentially?
If it's God's intuition or what your broken thinking might be doing.
Okay, so how do I know if it's my intuition coming from God or my broken old thinking? Yeah, okay. Okay. I think for me, a lot of it is sort of this feeling comes from here, this part of my body, I don't know, the solar plexus, I guess you could call it. I think for me, I know if it's intuitive and if it's good, if it feels easy, if there's not a lot of mental commotion. If there's a lot of mental commotion, it's probably maybe not a good idea, but maybe I need to think it through, you know? Also, like, something from my outside help that's really helped me is, like, if you're feeling like it's a firestorm mentally or, like, emotionally it's taking a turmoil, it's probably not good. It's probably not intuitive, or it's probably not meant to be right now. Like, maybe sit on it or think about it a little bit more. So for me, intuition feels good. It feels right. I don't know how to describe it. That's just how it feels to me. It's sort of a calm or like a gratitude feeling. And when it's not, it's usually something I need to at least think about, maybe talk it through with somebody else, or just give it to God, wait a day, and then come back to it. Sort of how I work that. Yeah.
Thank you for your share. Can you tell me what scares you today and what you do about it?
Okay. The question was, what scares me today and what do I do about it? I think a big fear that I've been working on lately is the fear of being seen and heard, which is funny because I'm in two industries that are all about being seen and heard. And I feel like I always battle with myself of, like, why do I feel that way? And I think that's, like, just anorexic thinking of, like, I need to stay small. Small is safe, you know? Mm-hmm. And what I've been doing about it is I've been God-boxing it a lot. I've been giving it to God and praying. Like, if I don't feel willing, I'll pray for the willingness to be willing to do something. And I really like that because it takes the pressure off myself. So lately I've been praying for the willingness to be willing to have courage. And really, I think when I'm working on a fear that feels really big, like, that feels like such a big fear because, honestly, I feel really guilty I have that fear. Because I think, like, I am into industries that are all about being in the spotlight. Why do I feel that way? Like, I feel that way, or that's a fear. But I think, again, committing to being gentle with myself is, like, how I work through it and get to the other side. Like, I've never been able to achieve anything specifically in recovery through, like, white knuckling or, like, my way through. It's always been a constant undoing until finally I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I don't want to go there anymore. You know, that's sort of, yeah, that's how that works for me. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Beautiful sharing.
Thanks.
So, how about being in the industry? I don't know if it's the same industry that you're still in, but very focused on body image.
Yeah.
And, you know, even just programs, something we all struggle with. So, how have you been able to find peace around that, and how do you also carry that over to your fellows
and your Okay. So the question was, being in an industry focused on body image, how do I work through that? And then, what was the second
part? And then how, you know, working with your sponsees, especially, like, giving them advice on body image,
and working with sponsees, what sort of advice do I give them on body image? Yeah, I mean, I am a full-time model, like, for real. And that's where I make my money right now, most of my money. And I think it's, like, so funny, like, you know, like, as someone recovered in anorexia, like, that I'm a model. I think for me, what's really helped me, and, like, I always say this, like, especially with sponsees, too, because, like, my sponsee is not in a body image focused industry, but obviously she struggles with her body image, you know. I think every human does. I mean, I talk to normies and, you know, like, I will describe what I go through with body image, like, oh yeah, I think I have a little bit of that too. Especially in LA, my God. For me, what helps me is I always think about, like, I believe that I book jobs and get opportunities because of my personality. Fully. And the fact that I'm tall and thin is the the secondary part of it. And I know it's true because one time I had a client call me, the director called me, "Hey, what are you doing?" "Just hanging out, like, at my house." And he was like, "Can you come to this location?" He sends me this location. He's like, "Yeah, we booked this model to do this speaking role for this commercial, but we need somebody with personality, so can you come?" And so I literally booked the job like that, and then I came and I did the thing. And that was just, like, such a God shot for me. And why I say that is because, like, my first sponsor was like, when you get the physical recovery, like, the light goes back on in your eyes. You know, I don't know how to describe it. And I really believe that, like, yeah, it's really my, like, I cannot have that body and this personality. They're mutually exclusive, unfortunately. Like, if I go back to that measurement or whatever, I will be a shell of who I am. And I was booking less, thinner, like, in that body. I book so much now. So I think for me, it's like that constant reminder of I have the career that I have because I show up as myself today. And I wasn't before. I sleep better. I eat on sets. Like, I follow my food plan. I'm not afraid to, you know, ask for what I need. And I'm confident. Like, I show up confident. Even if I have the fear of being seen and heard, I show up confident. And I do a good freaking job because I have the energy to do the job today. So that's sort of what helps me with that kind of thing. Yeah.
Nice. Thank you. So I mentioned exercise bulimia.
Yeah.
So how do you incorporate exercise in your life now, your program?
Yeah. So the question was, I mentioned exercise bulimia. How do I work? How's my relationship with exercise, and how do I work it in program? Yeah, it's ongoing. I think that is the hardest relationship I have working, like, to work on right now. I have a workout plan, so I commit to my sponsor. I work out 3 to 4 times a week. I can if I want to, less if I want to, never more. an hour max per every time. I check in what my plan is with my sponsor for my workout. When I start my actual workout and when I end my workout, and that's really, really helpful, that turning over. And yeah, there's certain things I don't do because physically it will hurt my body. And yeah, like the other day I started a workout, was kind of feeling like a little sore and tired, and so I did my at-home thing and then I went for like a walk. And I was like not feeling it, but I was still doing it, you know? And my AirPods died, and I was still going. And then finally I was like, I'm not feeling this. And I just turned around, and it was like literally probably a 5-minute walk, and I just said, like, I'm done to my sponsor. And that felt really good. So sometimes I can do that, sometimes I cannot do that. And that's just sort of how, but I'm honest and I turn it over to my sponsor, and then in my inventory I'm like, yeah, the exercise is kind of loud today. And that's sort of how I work that. Yeah. Yes.
Thanks, Madison. You said that you were committing to being kinder to yourself. How do you do that? what would that look like if you were kinder to yourself?
So the question was, I've been... Thank you. I spoke about being kinder to myself. What does that look like? And then what was the last half that you said? That's it, right? Like, what does that look like?
Help me ask the question.
So what is helping me be kinder to myself as well? Okay. Well, I don't know. So I committed it to a meeting. I think it's like this morning I just had this thought of like, give yourself a break, man. Like, you're doing all of this work and you're putting in, like, you're showing your higher power, you're showing the universe, like, I want to be well. I'm doing all these things to plant seeds and manifest or whatever. And sometimes you just gotta, like, relax in whatever process you're at. You know, I think, like, for me, being kinder to myself right now looks like showing up here and not thinking about those things, you know, and not thinking about all the fears and just turning it over. Today I have, like, a lot of things to do, and I think I'm just going to do those things, show up for those things, and not do the mental rat race of it all. And I think that, yeah, I just, being kind to myself right now looks like, let's, like, really just turn over that mental torture that you like to put yourself through, you know? Like, let's just really turn that over as it comes up. And maybe take a nap, you know? Like, just relax, really relax. Yeah, that's what that looks like right now, so thanks. Yeah.
Hey. So, my whole life has been in what would spin if I was beautiful. Since you already talked about what do you think about?
That was great. So the question was, I don't want to say this, but okay. But the question was, since I'm thin and beautiful. What else do I want? Or
what do you think about it?
Oh, what do I think about it?
You don't have those things to dwell on.
Okay, so since I don't have to dwell on things, skinny or beautiful, what else do I think about? Or, okay. I mean, a lot. I think, again, going back to being kind to myself, like, I put a lot of pressure on myself to achieve and to succeed. I put a lot of identity into being successful in whatever I'm pursuing. And I think it's sort of a detriment at the same time, because I feel like sometimes I cannot fully enjoy my life for where it's at, or, like, I'm not in, like, a full state of acceptance of where I'm at, which requires humility. And I think my ego can run the show sometimes. Yeah, I think also just, like, living in LA, there is this pressure to constantly keep up with being beautiful and skinny with everybody else, and especially modeling too. Like, you know, sometimes I feel the pressure of, like, I gotta maintain, or, you know, I can't, whatever. And I think, yeah, I think for me, like, it's really about, like, acceptance and humility, I think, is what I keep coming back to. Like, where I'm at in my life, what I look like compared to others. And believe me, I do compare and despair a lot. Maybe not a lot, but it comes up for sure. And yeah, I think sometimes there's this feeling of, like, I could be doing more, whatever it is. And I have to just continue to, like, check that over and turn it over. So there's always challenges. There's always more you want, you know? But yeah. That's all I got for that. What an interesting question. Yeah.
Your boyfriend relationship, is that still in existence? Do you have any power relationships with the significant other?
Oh, the question was, am I still dating said boyfriend from Cher, and how have my relationships been with significant others? No, we are not together. He ended it when I was, like, a month into recovery, and I'm so grateful he did that, because I needed to focus on myself. That rule of, or not rule, but suggestion of no dating the first year, highly recommend. I am a different person than when I came in. And actually, right now, I was dating somebody at the top of this year who I was falling in love with. And I can actually genuinely say I was falling in love, because I was a whole person, you know? And, like, they just, I have not heard from them in, like, a month. And so it's really thrown me off. But with all the work I've been doing, I know that, like, that won't fulfill me. That's just a blessing, a byproduct of such a full life. And I do feel like I'm at the point in recovery where, like, I do want a relationship, because I am a whole person today. I can fully love. I have that to give. So, yeah, my love life's a work in progress, but that is something I want, is a relationship, because I feel that I'm not thinking about the food or anything, you know? Like, I'm fully a human who can offer a healthy relationship today. So, yeah.
I have one more.
Or no?
No.
All right, let's go.
Now is the time for secretary's announcements.